All right, guys, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. I appreciate Brian when he does prayer requests. He always gets clarity to the request. When I was pastoring Westview Baptist years ago, I was there, you know that, I was there 7.5 years, and I was a young preacher. I started there. I was 22 or 23 years old, and we would have a lot of people come through. You know, they'd come for a while, and visitors and stuff, and then they disappear, and you wouldn't see them for a year or so. And one such time was a lady, and as a pastor, one of the things you have to be careful of is if you're not great with names and remember people's names, you just have to be careful when you respond. And this lady come, and mind you, I hadn't seen her, Randy, in probably a year. And she comes in, and when she first sees me, she starts talking to me after service. She starts talking to me, and she says, "Hey, preacher," she said. She goes, "I just want to let you know." And she says, just like that, she goes, "I just want to let you know." She says, "My son got it." Well, to be honest, I didn't have a clue what she was talking about, but trying to be right, politically correct, I was like, "Praise the Lord." And she goes, her face just, her countenance just dropped. And she goes, "No." She goes, "My son got it." I said, "Well, what did he get?" She goes, "He got put in prison." I'm like, "Oh, I probably shouldn't have said praise the Lord there." So you got to be careful. You got to make sure. That's a true story. And I'm like, "Oh, well, I pray for grace, that the Lord will give him grace in his life." So you got to be careful. I'm just telling you, you got to be careful. And why I'm telling you that story, I have no idea. But just anyway, 1 John chapter 1. I love this book of the Bible. Matter of fact, it's one of my favorite. I find myself saying this a lot. Whenever I preach through a different book of the Bible, I find myself saying, "This is my favorite book to preach through." Well, it is one of my favorite books to preach through, because really what 1 John is, John is writing, of course, on the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Now I say that a lot, but I want you to understand something. Because John is writing on the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that's a big deal, right? This is one of the 66 books of your Bible. It's part of the canon of Scripture. God wants us to know some things. And literally, the theme of our series is God wants you to know. He wants us to know a lot. And last week, we talked about the fact that God wants us to know that that being born again, having Christ as your Savior, is indeed a life that is real. I had the joy today. I was at the doctor, you know, the yearly blood work. They always want you to do a physical and blood work. And the lady that does the blood work, she's been there for a long, long time. And she struck up a conversation. We talk all the time. And she says, "Hey, preacher," she said, "got a question for you." And she's like, what does Jehovah's Witnesses believe? What does the Mormons believe?" And so we started talking and was able to give her the plan of salvation right then and there, and was able to share with her about Christ and what he did for us. And I said, "Well, you know, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, it's basically a works kind of a salvation. That's what they believe. They're working their way there." I said, "But that's what's great about Christ." I said, "Salvation isn't spelled D-O." I said, "It's spelled done," right? Jesus did on the cross for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And so I was able to share the gospel with her. And you know, and the wonderful truth about the Word of God is God wants everybody to know that. He wants everybody to know, and that's where you and I come in. He wants everybody to know that they can be forgiven of their sin and they can go to heaven when they die. And we have a wonderful opportunity to share the message of hope with people, to tell them that Jesus Christ, listen to this, he is mighty to save. He can change their life. It's a life that is real. And I said to her, I said, "It's not about religion." I said, "It's about having a relationship with God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord." So in the first four verses of 1 John 1, that's what John's talking about. He said, "Hey, this is the real deal. This is an authentic, genuine life that you can have, and it's found in Jesus Christ." Now, here's just a thought for you. Isn't it awesome to know that you can have a relationship with God? Isn't it? Can I get a witness in here tonight? All right, we're getting it. All right, we're getting there. You can have a relationship through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You can have a relationship with the God that created you, not only created you physically, but also with the God who died for you personally to give you eternal life. He's an amazing Savior. He is an amazing God. Now we're going to transition a little bit. So we've talked about salvation, and we will tonight as well. We always do. But we've talked about having a relationship with God through Christ. But now we got to talk about something that sometimes and a lot of times preachers don't like to talk about, but we do around here because it's important that we deal with it. And it's basically this: sin. And here's the title of the sermon tonight: Sin, the dirty, not so little word. The dirty, not so little word. So 1 John chapter 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. And we'll start in verse 5. He says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him." Now you remember John, right? You remember he walked with Christ. He saw the Lord. He saw the resurrected Lord. He literally watched Jesus heal sick, raise dead. He watched him speak life in the death situations. Notice what he says: "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light." Boy, that's a good word. God is light. And look at the rest of this: "And in him is no darkness." Look at the last two words: "at all." In him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The phrase "do not the truth" literally means we do not practice the truth. That's what he's saying. But if we walk in the light, God's light, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us. I want you to circle that word, cleanseth. Cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess, underline the word confess. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Let's pray. Father, we love your word. We thank you, Lord, for how you speak to us. We thank you, Father, how your Holy Spirit, just the precious Holy Spirit of God, just takes it, illuminates it to us, makes it alive, makes it come alive. God, we could read this passage 100 times, but Lord, every now and then, you make it jump off. Another principle, another word, God, that you show us here. Sometimes this jumps off into our heart and our mind, and it just absolutely consumes us. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the joy of it. And we ask your blessings, God, on our time tonight. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Sin, the dirty, not so little word. Sin is a big deal. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, people think, well, what's the big deal with sin? I know Jesus as my Savior now, and my sins have been forgiven. Well, yes, you do. If you've been born again, your sin has been forgiven. All your sin, and that's a good truth. All of your sin has been forgiven. You couldn't go to hell, my preacher used to say. If you've been born again, you couldn't go to hell if you wanted to go to hell, because all of your sins now has been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we thank God for that, don't we? We thank the Lord that our sins are forgiven. We thank God that our soul is eternally secure because of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Another way of saying it is this: you and I said this to the lady today, I said, if it was up to me to keep myself saved, I said, I would have blew it the very first day, right? I said, in essence, basically what I said to her. But the point is, you and I do not have the power to keep ourselves saved. None of us do. None of us have the power. But Jesus has the power to do that, and he does do that. He seals us, like the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30. He seals us once we trust him as Savior. He seals us unto the day of redemption. So you say, well, Pastor, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ, excuse me, if Jesus Christ has forgiven us of our sins, does that make us sinless? No. Now, in the eyes of God the Father, right? Positionally, in the eyes of God the Father, you are looked upon, and I know this is hard to get a hold of, but you can validate it through Colossians chapter 1 if you want to look it up. Through the eyes of God the Father, if you've been born again, Jesus sees you right now. I about poked my eye out with that glass, those glasses right then. He sees you positionally as holy. He sees you positionally as without blemish, without spot, without accusation. So positionally, but practically, right, from a practical standpoint, we still struggle with the sin nature because that was not eradicated. When Jesus saved you, he didn't eradicate the sin nature. He gave you a new nature in the Holy Spirit of God. But that old sin nature still tries to win. It still tries to take over. It still tries to rule and reign in your life, but it doesn't have to. So the point is, no one is sinless. But, here it is, no one is sinless. But, knowing Jesus Christ our Savior, we ought to sin less. Does that make sense? No one is sinless, but knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we should sin less. I got distracted there for a minute because there was a birthday cake upstairs. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's not June. No, somebody, I think it might, somebody else's birthday. So we're going to check on that birthday cake and make sure it's safe to eat in a minute. But anyway, no one is sinless, but we can, and it ought to be our desire to sin less. Now let's dig into this passage of Scripture. So we've established in those first few verses of chapter 1 that you can be born again. You can have fellowship with God. You can have fellowship with the Father. You can have fellowship with the saints, the family of God. You can have fellowship with the Lord, and you can have relationship because of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. You're on your way to heaven, but here's the thought. Here's kind of what we're going to look at tonight. But what do you do when you mess up? What do you do when you sin? Because we will sin. And so what are you going to do with it? You say, well, Pastor, I'll be honest, I just gave up a long time ago. I just feel like there's no use. I mean, I just keep sinning. What do I do with it? Well, I think we can help you tonight. I really do. Watching the internet, I really think we can help you. And we're going to look at just a few words tonight that really I hope God uses to grab a hold of you. Now, what the verses tell us, and starting in verse 5, and what we're going to see, starting in verse 5, we're now going to look at a part of the character of God. John is going to write and tell us a little bit about God's nature. So he tells us, we're going to see a positive side, but also a negative aspect of it. So he tells us in verse 5, this is the message. Now, and look at it, which we have heard of him declaring to you. So, John, remember, John's an eyewitness. So he's an eyewitness. He's somebody that has witnessed the Lord, right? He's kind of keeping it in. And as you'll see this unfold as we go through this, he's kind of bringing us in into a courtroom kind of feel. He's bringing us in into kind of a courtroom, and he wants to establish some things. And John says, I've taken the witness stand, and I'm going to give you eyewitness testimony of how wonderful the Savior in Jesus is. I want you to know that. He's raised his right hand. Can you see him? He's raised his right hand. He said to the judge, yes, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. He's sitting on that witness stand. He says, I'm going to give eyewitness account, and I'm going to tell you about this Jesus. Look at this. This is tremendous. I love this, man. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Look at this. God is light. Let that settle in for a minute. God is light. The positive. He's talking about the character of God. Now, when you think about it, he then says, and we'll talk about it in a second, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, as one writer wrote, and it's true, he said, when it comes to the context that God is light, here's what that encompasses. He said, God is light, so physically it means the glory of God. That Jesus, when they saw Christ, listen, friend, when the Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, they beheld the light of God. They beheld the light. They beheld the fact that Jesus Christ, the light of the world, physically, means the glory of God. Morally, God is light, means the holiness of God. God is absolutely pure. Not one speck of sin, ladies and gentlemen. And I know over the years, Hollywood, they've tried their best to diminish the purity of Jesus. But I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Bible, he was 100% pure. He didn't sin one time. And don't ever let anybody tell you that he sinned. He was absolutely the spotless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. That's why John the Baptist, and I love the story, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming to the River Jordan to be baptized of him, and John was like, wait a minute, whoa, wait a minute. And Jesus said, no, John, it needs to happen. And John said of Jesus, to all those Jews and all that crowd and all those religious people, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, up to that time, every lamb that they would sacrifice year after year, and every sacrificial animal that they would sacrifice year after year after year after year, was just simply a temporary covering for sin. They would have to do it, the high priest would have to do it every single year. And what John said, wait a minute, I'm going to show you the lamb. He's not only going to cover it, he's going to cleanse. He's not only going to cover it, he's going to cleanse our sin. Look at the text. We're going to dig into this. I love this passage. This is tremendous. The character of God. God is light. Here's the other part of it, though. In him is no darkness at all. And I said, preacher, what does that have to do with me? Well, here's what it has to do with us. Look at verse 6. So we've established God is light. So, preacher, you've said that about 12 times. Well, I want to push something here. I want you to get a hold of something. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He's now going to deal with sin. Look at it. If we say, you're going to notice he repeats that. If we say, well, if we say what, John? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, it's getting real personal now. John's going to get real personal. He's on the witness stand, right? He's testifying about his relationship with Jesus. He's testifying about his identity with Christ, but he's also testifying as to the very nature, as to the very character of who this Jesus is. And can you see the prosecuting attorney interviewing him, cross-examining John? You got to get a hold of this. The prosecuting attorney, he starts examining John, and he starts saying, wait a minute, well, you keep telling us about this Jesus. You keep telling us about this Jesus that he's pure. Yes, he's pure. You keep telling us about this Jesus that he's sinless. You better believe he's sinless. You keep telling us about this Jesus that, so you got anything else to say about this Jesus? John said, yep. He's light. And in him is no darkness at all. That's who Jesus is. So now he's going to go in, and you got to put all this together. You got to bring this together, because if not, you're going to miss something very important. So he says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And then he goes right in to say, if we say, look at this, man. This is tremendous. Look at this. If we say that we have fellowship with him. You know, you do realize, there's more to a saving relationship in Jesus than just talking about it. You know that, right? We could walk around here all day and say, oh, I'm serving you. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. And we could talk about it all day. But John says, look what John says. He's on the witness stand. Picture it in your mind. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, sin, walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. We're not practicing the truth. If we say That we, if we have, if we say that we have fellowship with Jesus, here it is. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's very powerful, but it's very pointed of a statement. Believer, you say you have relationship with him, verses 1 through 4. And you walk in darkness. You're continuing to practice sin and walk in sin. There's something wrong. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we're lying to ourselves. Something's wrong with our life with Christ. You say, yeah, but pastor, are you saying we're sinless? No. But it should not be sin in our lives should not be a normal pattern. When Jesus saves us, he changes us. I often say to people, if you know Christ, are you born again? Yeah, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. So then sometimes in talking in the discussion, I may ask something like this, or I've said it from the pulpit. Right now in your mind, I want you to do this. In your mind, I want you to ask yourself this question. Is my life any different now than it was before I met Christ? I mean, be honest. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. I want you to honestly do an honest assessment of your life spiritually. Is your life today any different because you say you have Christ? Is it different today than it was before you met Jesus? Let's narrow it down a little more. Are you engulfed in sin? Has sin just taken over your life? Is it really kind of a normal, habitual pattern of your life? That's what John's kind of speaking into. He said, God's light. In him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. If we're living in sin and walking in sin and it's a normal habitual pattern of our life, there's something wrong. You say, preacher, are you saying that I'm lost? Here's what I'm telling you. I'm saying that you possibly could be lost, but I'm also saying that you possibly have become desensitized to sin because you've done it so long, you've given into it so long, and it's numbed your conscience. So look what else. Let's just continue here. You say, man, That's pretty heavy, man. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood, look at this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Look, so number one, under this sin, the dirty, not so little word, we see first of all, just real quick, just take a couple minutes, we see the cleansing of our sin. Verses 5, 6, and 7. We see the cleansing of our sin. You say, preacher, yeah, I find myself, and I've said it before, and you know my heart in this. Here's what I really truly know as a believer in Christ. One of the big differences that between somebody that knows Jesus as their Savior and somebody that doesn't know Christ their Savior, I promise you, a true born-again believer in Christ, when they sin, I promise you this, when they sin, it will bother them. It's impossible as a believer to sin and it not bother you. Now, I will say, as you sin, if you continue to give in to those sinful temptations and give in to those sinful choices and give in to that sinful appetite, yes, indeed, it can desensitize you. Yes, indeed, it can sear your conscience to where it becomes easier to sin. But understand something. If you truly know Jesus Christ, your Savior, remember John on the witness stand? John's on the witness stand saying, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. He's light, man. In him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, John? What, John? If we say we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, there's something wrong. But look what else he says. You say, yeah, Pastor, but what do I do if I struggle with sin? Let me speak in that for a minute. Let me speak in that because I hope it encourages you. I love to hear when people say, Preacher, what do I do because I struggle with sin? I love when they say that statement. So, wait a minute. You love to hear people say they struggle. Yeah, I love the word struggle. Because the word struggle really means, what it means is this. They haven't given in to it all the time. They're trying to get rid of it. They're trying to overcome it. They're continuing to struggle with it, wrestling with it. Keep wrestling, friend. Keep struggling with it. Don't just succumb to it. Keep a short account of your sins. We're going somewhere. Look at this. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He'll cleanse you. Notice something else. So how are we going to get cleansed? Well, notice the second word I told you to underline. Starting in verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, if we say, remember that? Remember I said, told you, he kind of uses that phrase repeatedly. If we say we have no sin. Now, sin used there, this might not seem like a big deal, but I'm going to show you something. Sin, the word sin used there is a noun. And literally could mean if we say what? If we say we have no sin nature. That's kind of what John is saying. If we say we have no sin, for those who say, well, I've gotten so close to Jesus, man, I don't sin any longer. You're deceiving yourself. Let me just let you know a little secret about Pastor. Sometimes I sin before my feet even hit the floor. I'm devastated by that. By a thought. Especially when the alarm clock goes off and you don't want to get up, right? And you're ready to choke that or throw that thing across the room. You don't want, you say, Pastor, what's your point? Well, let's just dig into this and we'll show you my point here. If we say that we have no sin, noun, no sin nature indeed is that, it's a noun. That's the root, right? That's the root. You can think of the word root now. Now we're going to look at fruit. Look at this. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, that word sin there is a verb. It's an action. So if we say we have no sin nature, but here's the only problem with that. And we continue to produce the actions, that means there's a root. I said to you a moment ago, Jesus, when he saves us, he didn't eradicate the old sin nature. He didn't redeem the old sin nature. It's still there. Now, he placed his new nature in you. The Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And we do not have to give in to sin. But sometimes we do, if the truth be known. If we say we have not sinned, what do we do with it then, preacher? We call it what it is. Say, preacher, what do I do when I sin? I'm going to show you the word. Just start calling it and telling Jesus, call it what it is. Don't make excuses for it. Well, I just messed up. No, look at the text. Verse 9. If we confess our sins. Remember what I told you about the word confess? You remember what it means? The word confess literally means to say the same thing. It means we say the same thing about our sin that God says about our sin. Can I be transparent with you? Will you let me do that? Last night, basketball game, my boys play basketball. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what's got into me lately. I even told Pastor Berlin that because watching my boys play basketball and some of the things that happened to them, some of the uncalls and all that, man, it made me angry. I'm just being honest, just being transparent. And here I am sitting on the front bleacher. And Brian, I was getting furious, mad. And my wife's doing this, hit me on the leg. Ladies, please, don't ever do that. Please don't ever do that. Because you know what we'll do? We'll move. No, I didn't do that because I know better. Because I got to go home later. But anyway, I was getting mad. But my, it wasn't that I was just getting mad. I was getting angry. And here I am at a basketball game. I'm sitting there. I'm getting furious. I'm getting angry. I'm loud. I am. And finally, I just bowed my head and I said, God, please forgive me of this. This is crazy. To get so bent out of shape over a battle. Are you kidding me? He said, preacher, why are you telling us that? Because honestly, I know my heart. You say, yeah, we should be led by our heart. Are you kidding me? Don't let your heart lead you. It'll lead you down a bad path, sir, ma'am. Well, I've always been taught to let your heart be your guide. Well, let me give you some verses of scripture to combat that silliness. The Bible said our heart is desperately wicked. Wow. Not your heart, my heart, right? No, our heart is dead. Be careful letting your heart be your guide, because I promise you, friend, it can lead you astray. You say, yeah, but preacher, you probably had validity to your anger. A lot of bad calls. My son, I'm telling you, I'm just being transparent. My son Cameron, 6'4.5" now. He's excited about that. Down low playing defense, and a boy, big boy, come up, and as he came up, Jonathan, he came up and he hit Cameron right in the face, bam, and hit him right in the face and about blooded his face up. And the little bitty official was literally standing right there, and he called the foul on Cameron. Not my baby, right? Well, no, you didn't. I mean, honestly, I was upset, mad. After the game, I told the pastor, I said, Pastor Berlin, I don't know what the world's got into me. I said, I honestly, I was on the verge of losing my testimony. And I say that, I'm not joking. I was on the verge of losing my testimony. I said, over a silly basketball game. But you know what I know about my Lord? But you know what also I know about the devil? The devil would want me to blow it. He would want me to lose my testimony over a basketball game. And by God's grace, I don't want to do that. You know why? Because in a couple of weeks, I'll be preaching in chapel to the student body there. And they watch me. You say, I'll preach, ain't a big deal. Yeah. So here's what I had to do. I had to confess my sin before God. I said, God, please forgive me. You ready for this one? For my anger. Because that's what it is. You say, preacher, you're a gentle giant. Not when my babies get hurt. I'm just telling you. You got to call it what it is. You got to call it what it is. And we're not going to get any further, but I want you to turn to Galatians for a minute. Turn back to Galatians. And while you're turning there, let me read the verse, and I want you to go to Galatians, because I really think I'm going to help all of us, because it's helping me. The Bible says, John says, if we confess our sins, you'll hear people. You remember what the word confess means, right? What's confess mean? It means to say the same thing about it, right? Oh, don't make me start the sermon over. Confess means to do what? To say the same thing about it. That's what it means. It means you say the same thing about your sin that God says about your sin. It would have been very easy for me to sit there on that. Honestly, I'm just trying to be transparent, let you into my life, let you into my world. And if it makes you feel worth less of me, God bless you. But anyway, my point is, so here I am. It would have been foolish for me to sit there on that bleacher and bow my head to God and say, God, I just got to tell you, that official's a moron. And Lord, you know, the reason I'm mad is because of what that official's doing to my baby. No, I didn't do that. Because the issue wasn't the official. The issue was my anger. And I had to tell God that. God, please forgive me of my anger. It wasn't the official. You say, yeah, Pastor. Yeah, but sometimes people just push our buttons and we react. You got to understand something. I hope you hear this. Yes, sometimes people push our buttons. Man, this is a good word. But what comes out of you has nothing to do with the person. It's in you. what comes out of you has nothing to do. I don't know if I agree with that, preacher. Well, it's their fault. No. Do I have to tell you about Jesus? What did they do to Jesus? They spit in his face. They plucked his beard. They stabbed him with a spear. What did he do? Ready for this? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. Jesus wasn't there to get even. Jesus wasn't there to... You also know the Bible tells us that Jesus could have called legions of angels to his side. And I'm here to tell you, we better say, thank you, Jesus, that you didn't do that. You see, what we need to confess. So real quick, look at this. Look at Galatians. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He keeps using the word sins. You heard people every now and then, Lord, please forgive my shortcomings. Why don't we just call it what it is? Sin. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. I messed up today. No, let's call it what it is. Let's confess. Let's biblically confess. Sin, right? He is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then. Walk in the Spirit. We'll be done in 3 minutes. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I said to you, when God saves you, he doesn't redeem the old man. One of these days, that dude's going to die. And you'll have people say, yeah, but I've crucified the flesh. Well, here's you got to get a hold of something. You may have crucified the flesh, but the flesh hasn't crucified itself. Let that settle in for a minute. You may have crucified the flesh, but the flesh hasn't crucified itself. It's still around. It's still there. It's still prevalent. It's still powerful. So Paul writes, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, verse 17 of Galatians 5, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. That's a perfect illustration. You say, preacher, I don't get it. I want to serve Jesus Christ. I promise you, preacher, I want to do that. I promise you, preacher, I love the Lord, and I know you do. I promise you, preacher, I want to serve him. That's with my spirit. I really want to serve Jesus. But man, I constantly give in. That's what Paul's talking about there. He said they're contrary one to the other. They don't gel. It's like water and oil. They don't gel. They won't. Why? Because they're totally different. Look what he says. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are these, are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You say, wow, whoo-hoo, thank you. Whoo, boy, I'm doing pretty good so far, preacher. Ooh, let's quit and go home. Let's dig in a little further. Idolatry, verse 20. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Variance means contentions. Emulations. You know what that word means? It means jealousies. Oh, just stay in verse 19, preacher. I was doing okay till you got to verse 20. Well, look at it. Wrath. Ooh. Strife. Strife means selfish ambitions. Seditions, heresy. Seditions are simply dissensions. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, verse 21. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes into the fruit of spirit. We'll talk about that another day. You say, preacher, yeah, but I don't want people knowing. I don't want people knowing. Preacher, I can't believe you would stand in a pulpit and tell us about how you got angry. Why would you do that? Because you know, preacher, people will think worse of you if they know really what you struggle with. Well, here's what I learned a long time ago. What matters to me most is what Jesus thinks about me. And what matters to me most is what Jesus knows about me. So if I'm struggling and if I have a situation to where anger, wrath wants to creep in, I'm just being honest. It'll help you. It will help you when anger creeps in. I promise you it'll help you if you just bow your heart and head to God and really mean it and say, Lord, struggling with anger right here. Please forgive me, God, of that. I told Pastor Berlin, I said, Pastor Berlin, I don't want to lose my testimony. By the way, I said, I don't want to lose my testimony over a basketball game. Just for the record, my heart before the Lord. I don't want to lose my testimony over anything. I don't want to lose my testimony over this flesh and what this flesh does. Because I promise you, the flesh wants me to lose my testimony. You say, yeah, but Pastor, what happens if you have lost your testimony? Let me help you. And oh, by the way, I have lost my testimony before. In different areas. Here's what you do. We say, preacher, what do you do if that happens? What if you do if you don't respond the right way? You confess it to God. And the Bible says he's faithful and he's just to cleanse us our sins. Right? He'll cleanse us of our sin. And the Bible, if keep it in the context, you know what the Bible says he'll do? This is good, Miss Marcia. He'll restore us back to fellowship with him. When we have unconfessed sin in our life and we're acting, just being honest, you say, preacher, what did you act like? I acted like a lost person in my heart and in my mind, sitting there on that pew. I had little kids around me. I told my wife, come home. I said, I don't know what's going into me. This is crazy. But you see, I know how the devil works. He's a master at his craft, son. And he wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin your testimony. If you're here tonight and you do not know Christ your Savior, I beg you, I urge you to repent and believe the gospel to the saving of your soul. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Believing that Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day. He'll save you. He'll change your life. If you are here tonight and you know Christ your Savior, but man, you've got a lot of problems in your life, a lot of struggles in your life, and you've been given into temptation, friend, I beg you as your friend, but also as your preacher, confess, truly confess your sins. Don't just paint it with a broad brush. Don't just paint it with a brush. Say, oh, God, I messed up today. Lord, please forgive me of this. Name it. Say the same thing about it that Jesus says. Because if you'll say the same thing about it that Jesus says, Jesus will cleanse you of that. He will. Stand with me, please, for him invitation. Brother Brian's going to come and lead us. If the Lord's touched your heart, I encourage you, I really mean that. Tonight's message, it can free you up. Not because I'm preaching, it's the Word of God, and it can free you up. Maybe the whole reason you're struggling right now, maybe the whole reason you're just consumed with all kinds of issues in your life, it's simply, it could be, I promise you, it could be as simple as unconfessed sin in your life that's taken root and taken a hold of you. But if you confess it, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, he's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why would he say that to a believer? Because John understood that unconfessed sin in the life of a Christian will absolutely affect their fellowship with the Heavenly Father, and it will affect their fellowship with God's family. That's the context of 1 John chapter 1. It will do that. You come as we sing. What's your number, bud? 317.